Soundboard. But anyways, keep rolling along. Thank you for all of you that are tuning in today live, either on Blog Talk Radio, on Spreaker, on iTunes, on TuneIn, on Google, on YouTube, the Hangout. If you're watching live today, very much appreciated. I'm coming from again today from hotel room. Tomorrow I will be back in my little studio, my little oasis. So I'm gonna get right into it now. Final score for last night's game was something in that many didn't necessarily expect from a lot of what I was hearing. If you listen to most media outlets, you're gonna hear Alabama was going to win big, or was going to win this game. You're gonna hear how Nick Saban, well, at Alabama, has never lost a national championship game, never lost a national title game. It's going to be one of these games that we go back to and think of, was Alabama necessarily as good as people wanted them to be, or they ended up being? Now, one thing that I noticed from the get-go, I heard Kirk Herbstreit, a lot of people were saying, you know, Clemson looked really slow at the beginning. They were having a trouble. They looked bad. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't think they looked bad. I think what Dabo Swinney did here with Clemson was it's like a, you know, you'll see experienced people that are really experienced in something kind of do this. Poker players will do it. Boxers are known for it, and at least elite level boxers. What they'll do is they'll slow play it, or they'll feel it out. Like boxers, for the first five rounds or so, they really feel out their opponent. They wanna see where you're at. They wanna see, you know, what kind of distance are they getting on your jab, and what sort of mentality you're going to take coming into this. Are you going to be really aggressive? So the great ones will kind of feel people out for about five rounds. And then after the fifth round, there's a switch that gets turned on. And that's kind of what I saw for the first few possessions with Dabo. Now, people are going to argue, why would you slow play it in a national championship game? Why wouldn't you just go pedal to the metal and go all the way for it right away? Just try to throttle it up. Well, the thing is, if they get too tired too soon, and again, they're playing against guys that are at equal skill level, at just as athletic, just as big, just as strong. I would actually say that they're playing with maybe that are guys that are, you know, maybe bigger or stronger, or more of them and more depth than Clemson. The talent level, you know, Alabama slightly has a little bit more talent across the board than Clemson. But again, the talent doesn't win you the games. You know, guys that are bigger, stronger, faster, those are intangibles that you want. Those give you advantages to win the game. But it's your game plan, your strategy, your execution, are what ultimately ends up winning it for you. So what did what is the point of it? Now, he kind of looked at this because a lot of people say, oh, Alabama, they're like a pro team. And it always irritates the heck out of me when we have people that constantly are saying, oh, you know, they're a college football team. They could probably beat the worst NFL team. No, that will never happen. And I heavily probably below this thread, I'm going to see a few people saying, well, there was this one time where the college all-stars beat the Green Bay Packers. And no, there's no college football team intact as it is. It doesn't matter if it was the Hurricanes, the Huskers, the Crimson Tide. I don't care which of your great team, the Seminoles, whatever you want to say, would beat any NFL team, not even the worst NFL team. So let's not even get into that. But what Dabo did was very much, he took this pro style. He had his game plan, and excuse me, they decided to slow play it from the get-go. He didn't rush anything. He didn't push anything. He was just chewing up clock, chewing up yards, chewing up clock, chewing up yards. So by the time we got to halftime, they were leading time of possession, I think it was like by 6 or 7 minutes. It was pretty significant amount of time that they had chewed up. Now they were down 14-7, but they let in yardage and time of possession. Now, what that tells me at the half, if you're leading in yardage and time of possession, you're getting first downs, but you haven't scored. The issue is getting it in the end zone. Okay, so what's happening? They had a couple turnovers there. Those could have been points. The defense was playing well enough for Clemson that they were able to hold them to 14 points in the first half. And for the most part, passing again wasn't there. They were slowing down Hurts on his running. Bo Scarborough was doing well. And he had, other than a couple of big plays, they were just small chunk yards. So they weren't giving up anything big other than a few plays here or there. So if you cut down on the big plays that get the big first downs or get them where they need to go, that helps out. The other thing they did really good is Clemson stood really strong on third downs. At the end of the game, just looking at the game stats for the end of the game, they held Alabama on third downs 2 for 15. 2 for 15 on third down. They did give up their only fourth down attempt of the game. They did surrender that. They ended up giving 376 yards total, 155 through the air, and 221 on the ground. Okay. But what we see here is 9 penalties. They were able to, Alabama, it was hard to believe watching the game, Alabama was penalized 9 times. None of them were the targeting hits. And if Reuben Foster, if this was an NFL game, a large chunk of your paycheck would be missing because the league would be taking it from fines for a couple of those hits in the game. And you see them right from the get-go. There was a couple of them, their hands to the face or unnecessary roughness, or they didn't call it targeting. There was a few of them that could have been called targeting. They did not call targeting. And they ended up not calling one the whole game. They were trying to avoid it looked like. But Clemson did a good job. Again, eating up clock, a little over 34 and a half minutes versus 25. 31 first downs versus 16. They doubled it. Essentially. Now, they did have 2 turnovers. Now, in games that Alabama has played in where they've had 2 or more takeaways, they've only lost 2 of those games out of, it was something like 70, 60 or some games, an obscene amount of games. If they've gotten the ball or the other team has turned it over 2 or more times in that game, they were able to win the game all but 2 times. Well, this was the third. Now, Clemson did a good job. They were 7 for 18 on third downs, which isn't great, but they were getting the big third downs when they needed them. The passing was there. They were able to cut it down, get the slants, get the draw, getting the screens, the alley screens, bubble screens, and stuff like that, and using the draws. The running game was efficient to the outside if the quarterback was running. The running backs didn't give much to the left side, but to the right side they did. I'm a little more surprised that they didn't exploit that a bit more from Clemson, but still, they did a good job of getting yardage, moving the ball around, using different kinds of plays, a lot of motion. All the motion tells you, are they still in man? Are they in zone? Is maybe you can exploit a spy. Again, the read pass option, again, knowing what that safety might do, knowing where those linebackers are going to go, that's going to help with your decision making. So if you know he's coming in on a blitz, then you can hold it till the last second and then pull it out and take off while he's tackling the running back, which we saw a couple times last night. So, Deshaun Watson did a good job of that. He overall, I understand him being the MVP. He really was the MVP of the game. He showed up big in a big game. And, that's the one thing, that's the characteristic, that's the leadership that people want to see in an NFL talent. So now on the defensive side, Alabama's front four was not getting there. They weren't getting to the passer enough. Having the read pass options, throwing the short screens, throwing the slants, that was keeping the defensive line honest. They weren't able to roll people out into coverage. They weren't able to bring the backers as much as they want. And again, notice with this Crimson offensive line and their zone blocking scheme, Alabama ended up having to bring linebackers to get the blitz there, to get the pass rush to Watson. They were frequently having to bring linebackers to really get that pressure on him. Watson still did a good job, even while pressure was coming, for the most part, staying in the pocket, delivering the ball. He did have an issue at points during the game, mainly in the first half of the game, with his release. Stuff was sailing on the ball. I think it was pretty much where the release point was. I don't think he was coming through on it enough. Usually when you throw the football, the last finger to come off is your index finger. So it's like you're pointing where you want it to go. I think he was having kind of an issue where his middle finger was leading, where his index finger was a little high. And so I think a lot of that comes with the follow through. Just like in basketball, if you hold your release, usually you have a more accurate shot, more consistent shot. If you shoot, hold your release. Holding the release, same thing with a passer, same thing with a bowler, snap of the wrist, or holding the release is what fundamentally helps to solidify. It's like the period at the end of the sentence. Sure, we can write something and for the most part what you just said, that's what the end of it. But if you put a period there, now it's more defined. Similar sort of thing when it comes to a quarterback and him throwing the ball. So Deshaun Watson did a really good job. 420 yards passing in the game. And I can't say enough good things. I was very critical on him at the beginning of last season. And how his progression was going to come. He's over the last couple seasons, actually. I was critical of him. Again, tremendous talent, has a strong arm. He is accurate when he sets his feet. It's funny. It's a lot of the similar criticisms as I had for Jameis Winston when he was coming out. The bigger difference is for Deshaun Watson, it's not so much of the high leg kick being an issue, and Deshaun Watson's a bit more mobile. He's a more natural runner. Winston is kind of clunky when he runs. He's not unathletic. It's just not as smooth. He's not as smooth of a runner. He's not as natural of a runner. He's athletic enough to where he has escapability. He can scramble. And we've seen that the last couple seasons, probably one of the biggest plays where he almost got tackled for a safety, scrambling out, was able to get clear, throw it down the middle of the field to Mike Evans for a big first down. So, and we see that with Deshaun Watson. He does a good job of keeping his eyes down the field. He does a good job of reading where people are going, knowing where he wants to put the ball. He needs to work on his accuracy. So we'll see some of that. What does he do moving forward? We'll see him in the scouting combine. I doubt he will play in the Senior Bowl. He doesn't really need to. So he would just go to the scouting combine. We'll see if he throws or what he does there. But he's probably one of the top ones on the board right now. On the other side of the ball, Jalen Hurts, he has a strong arm. He can throw the ball a mile. What he lacks, again, he's a true freshman. What he lacks is touch. Being able to get the arc on the ball, dropping it in there, you know, being able to, you know, adjust his arm motion and the altitude at which he throws the ball. A lot of it is just, you know, he muscles it in there. You know, a lot of, you've seen a lot of the deep balls he throws. He can throw the deep ball. It's not as accurate as because the touch. He's not dropping it in there. He's catapulting it down there. And just because, you know, the angle of something, you know, if you throw a basketball, think about basketball, if you just throw it at the hoop, you know, the angle at which it comes in is less likely to go in as if you have more of a teardrop, more of an arc on it. So those are just some things he needs to work on. He's a natural runner. We saw there in that last drive, it was almost a miracle drive for them. Came back, scored too quick. But his running ability and his ability to stay cool and play in high pressure situations is great. He just needs to work on his throwing. So that's some things that they can work on moving forward. Sark will be able to work with them with that. If Sark stays on as the offensive coordinator, we'll see. Saban's probably going to fire somebody. You'd think. After not winning, after losing his first national championship game. So we'll see where Alabama goes from here. They have a ton of depth. They're returning a lot of people. One of the big question marks for them is running back Bo Scarborough. He's a sophomore. Obviously, he'd be coming back next year anyways. What's his health going to be like? He struggled with ACL injuries, and he's had an ACL tear in both knees. And now last night, again, when he went out and he went back to the locker room, I reported out that he's most likely going back to get x-rays. Because in that little tent, they'll be able to read the x-rays in there, but they can't take x-rays in that little tent on the sideline. So taking him back and again, I thought it would be in a high ankle sprain. Again, high ankle sprain can mean a few different things. It could just, you know, it could be muscular or tweaking of joints. You know, the sprain could be in the muscle or the joint, but or the strain. But the thing is, high ankle sprains usually or at some point in time have – it's a fracture. So a fracture to the lower part of – or the upper ankle, lower leg, is considered a high ankle sprain. So a lot of people think, oh, a sprained ankle. How could you be out 3 months with a sprained ankle? Well, the bone has to heal. Different than just an ankle sprain. And turf toe is a similar thing. Turf toe sometimes can be a fracture in the actual bone in the toe. So, you know, not having your big toe to be able to plant, move, shift, it makes a big difference. So when he went out and he was out for, he didn't come back at the beginning of the fourth quarter. I was like, yeah, he's done for the game. They didn't announce it. ESPN didn't announce it. I didn't see many people saying much. But yeah, like my suspicion was it was a high ankle sprain, or there was a fracture there in the upper ankle, lower leg, and he would not be in. Because I reported there in the fourth quarter that if it was something where there wasn't a fracture, the crap out of it, maybe give him some sort of an injection or something to numb the pain and allow him to keep playing if he could support weight on it. But that didn't end up being the case. So I want to see what happens with him. His skill set, you know, big, strong. I know they have him listed at 228. You know, I saw him this week. I think he's bigger than 228. And he might be taller than 6'2". So I'm 6'2", and he looked a little taller than me. He's fast. He's strong. Has strong legs. So it'd be interesting to see what he does next season. But I'm really keeping an eye on him. He's looked like one of the best backs from Alabama. And again, the big difference between him and Henry, when he hits people, you know, he runs through people and keeps running. Henry had issues at time where he got hit, and though he would fall forward with them and gain more yards, he wasn't shrugging people off. He wasn't pushing people off. He wasn't, you know, the first or second tackler typically got him if it wasn't just a little arm tackle. Whereas Scarborough, he's running through tackles, and that's a big difference between the two. I know a lot of people were trying to create some sort of a comparison there. So, but just simple stuff like that. He sees the holes pretty well. He follows his blockers pretty well. Has good vision. His hands are pretty good. He did have an issue. Well, I don't know if it's an issue. He did fumble earlier in the season against Ole Miss. Which lost some of Saban's trust. So that's why part of the reason why we didn't see him for a while, plus a knee injury again. But he looked healthy through the playoff. He looked healthy last night until he got his ankle rolled on. So overall, this is exactly the game I expected it to be. Again, a lot like last year. Alabama needs to work on mixing some things up on defense and on offense to compete with teams like Clemson. And Clemson needs to keep doing what they're doing and be sure to close out games against lesser opponents. It just needs to have more solidified wins moving forward during the regular season. So, all right, we're about 30 seconds away from the end of the show. I appreciate everybody listening in. If you're on YouTube, or if you're not on YouTube, go over to YouTube at Matt Long Sports. Subscribe there. Follow the show on Twitter, @ToTheHalf. You can hear all the podcast versions of this show and all of our shows over at thechtonsports.com. That you can see a link for that down in the description on YouTube if you're on YouTube. Appreciate all you guys. We'll see you again tomorrow, and I will be back in my little chamber. I'm out.